Hey, check it out. You're smoking with your boy Joe Thunder. This podcast brought to you by Be Good Dispensary, our official sponsor. Bringing the latest and greatest in hip hop and the arts and cannabis culture. With co-host Elvis Freshly and DJ Sin. Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Joe Thunder back once again with another episode of the Smoking with Joe Thunder podcast. And if you don't know, I'm really high right now.
Really.
For
sure.
I don't know. But yeah, hey. This got the homie Elvis Freshly in the building.
This motherfucker's high.
Freshly.
Fresh. Yo, I'm high.
I'm pretty
eyes
high
is
too.
Red.
Okay, whoa.
You
guys' eyes is red.
Hey, we had one before.
I got weed in my eye.
Yeah.
I got some weed in my eye.
That's a smoke from Cali.
My eyes red.
He is rubbing his eyes after rolling blunts.
Yeah, it fucks me up.
You know what I mean? But we got another solid episode for you. We got a
banger.
Yeah, banger for you. You know what I mean? Someone I've been seeing in the town last couple months, making some moves, doing some shows. You know what I mean? She got a dope-ass voice, killing
thank
the
you,
motherfucking game. Jazzy Wolf in the building. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
We definitely appreciate you coming
on
by. How you doing? Everything good with you?
I'm doing good. Everything is great.
Having you a little beverage, a little blunt, a little mama?
Yep, you already know. You know the vibes.
Right. Hey, shout out real quick to Be Good Dispensaries. You got to slide through there over there at 11 West Hampden.
Yeah.
Get anything you need, and they're up north.
They got
114th
some gas,
and Cherokee Street. Yeah. Across the highway from Boondocks.
Boondocks.
Yo.
But Jazzy Wolf in the building. Welcome.
Here. I'm here.
Hey, so we were talking earlier.
Yo, hold on. We're missing DJ Sin.
Ah, there you go. I'm
DJ
so sorry.
DJ Sin's not here right now. We got to give her a shout out.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out DJ Sin. You know,
she'll be back next week.
She'll be killing it. She's in New York right now holding it down.
Yeah, shout out.
It.
But we were talking earlier, and there's a big misperception about you. Everyone always thinks you're not from here, right?
Yeah. They think I'm from California.
Right, Los Angeles, right, you know.
But, you know, I'm actually born and I guess halfway raised in Denver, Colorado. I went to Prairie.
Okay.
Then I went to Cherokee Trails. I went to CT. And then when I was like 15, I moved to California.
Back to Cali.
Yeah.
Going.
Yeah.
Back to Cali.
I guess I always dreamed of living there since I was a little girl. I used to visit a lot. And then my dad got this job and we just kind of moved out there. And I thought I was going to love it, but honestly, I hated it. I was living in Orange County, and I didn't like it. It was like a big switch, moving from somewhere that was so diverse and then going to a curriculum that was a lot harder, and it wasn't really diverse. It was just mostly like white people and Mexicans, but not that many Mexicans, mostly like white people, so it was just so different for me.
Right.
And I always wanted to come back to Colorado.
And that's what you and Elvis were talking about earlier, like the difference between like school here and there. And
yeah.
You said it was different.
Yeah, it was a lot harder. Like at Cherokee Trails, we had a period schedule. So the schedule that we were on, it was 4 classes a day, different classes every single day. And you had 2 days to do your homework because you had 8 periods all together, but you did 4 per day.
Right.
So then when I moved to California, I had all my classes in one day. So it was just really overwhelming. And on top of that, I felt like the curriculum was a lot harder, more work, and it was just a lot more intensive. I couldn't catch on to it as quick as the other kids.
It was more like laid back here, where they didn't really come.
Yeah,
they gave a fuck,
but
they didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. And, you know, we in Colorado, so kids were just different. A lot of kids were already smoking weed. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? In high school, I remember in Cherokee Trails, that's what we used to do. We used to go and smoke.
Where would y'all go?
Everybody had cars. So, like, we would go in the car and we'd just blow it down in the car, go back to class.
Yeah. Smelling
like
or not?
Weed for sure.
Nah, I wouldn't smell. I would know how to get the smell out. I mean, I never got in trouble.
Right.
I never got in trouble for weed, ever, in school. So I knew what I was doing. Then we went out there. I guess the kids were still doing smoking weed, too, but they were doing way more drugs out there.
They're already advanced, right?
Yeah, and they were drinking way more. It was easier access to alcohol because they sold it in the stores. I was like, oh, my God, I can't keep up with these kids.
Let's go steal that shit, huh?
Yeah, they'd steal it. They'd walk out and they'd break
literally.
The top off the bottle. No, literally. I couldn't believe it. They'd walk out with, like, expensive alcohol and drive off. And the store owner would try to come out.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, my God, you guys are crazy. No wonder. That's that Cali shit.
Right. Would you say you're a little more wild out there than you were here? Or
no,
did you
definitely not. I didn't get,
said,
I never got
that.
Caught up in that. Like, I definitely had some times where I went out and I partied a lot and I got to see
right.
how it was. And I just, it
but you didn't make it an
me.
Everyday
I never,
situation.
I never
or
got
night.
Caught up in it. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I definitely could have. It was crazy out there. I was a party with, like, the college kids, like, the way they did a lot of drugs. Like,
yeah.
they got
yeah,
crazy.
Hell
but it
yeah,
just,
that shit's crazy.
It just wasn't
Kelly.
Me out. For me personally, I always just wanted to make music. I'm always trying to figure out where the artists are.
Right.
Who makes
That's
music?
Dope.
I always my friends that I would make. I'll go to a lot of open mics, you know. So my friends that I would make were just other people who made music. So then we'd like do these jam sessions.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask. What kept you away from it? Obviously, is music, mm-hmm. right? And how did you music. Get into music? Like early age or?
Yeah, I always had love for music. My mom, she played a lot of good music for me. She uh-huh. sang too. She had a good voice, and I guess I always knew I wanted to do music. Like,
right.
Always, ever since I was a little girl, it was like my dream. So then when I started to get older and I figured out how to make it myself,
right.
that's when I knew, like, if I could make it. And people always told me that I was good, and if I just kept to it, I could really be somebody. So it just kept me going, too, and I would make these songs that I always feel like were just, like, hit records. So I was like,
right.
you know what? If I'm capable of making hit songs and Billboard records, I might as well just keep trying to do it.
How'd you get your first little setup going to record your own shit?
Well, my first setup that I ever got, my dad got it for me as like a Christmas present. It was like this little Studio One.
Okay.
And I used to try to record myself. And then when I left home and I moved out on my own by myself, I had these roommates and they all did music too. So we all kind of invested in studio equipment.
Kind of like pitched in, right?
Mm-hmm. And we got, we started our own studio. I was like 17 years old. And we started our own studio in San Diego. It was called Grow, giving real opportunities worldwide. And they used to do an open mic right where we had our studio. It was like a joint thing that we did with other people down there. We
like
halfway,
a little collab, like
yeah,
a co-hop.
Like we all
kind
of put
like
in
right
and made
here.
The studio together. Yeah, but
the
it was
studio.
Our equipment that was in the studio for a long time. But before it was in there, I was lucky enough to, when we were all roommates, I had the best room to have the studio in. So I got to have all the studio equipment in my room.
Okay.
So that's where I kind of started learning how to engineer myself. We had Pro Tools, all the most expensive stuff. We had a Neumann U87. So I was recording myself a lot, making a lot of songs. I would have my friends over. I would
right.
record them.
Little recording
a lot
parties.
Of my homegirls that I would have, like the first time they ever recorded was in my room with me.
Oh, that's
me
dope.
Just trying to practice on them.
That's yeah. dope. You still have some of this music? Or
no,
is
that,
it lost?
That computer ended up crashing,
uh-huh.
and we lost everything.
Damn.
Oh, it was really hard. That was like
no backup.
Yeah, no
I
backup.
Feel like I got my heart broke. I cried about it, and then it like this. It made me like not very motivated to like
to start
redo all
over.
My songs because I felt like, oh my god, I had it so perfect the first time. Then when I would try to re-record it again, I felt like it wasn't as good as the first time.
Right.
So I just threw all those songs away.
Just started all over?
Started all over.
Damn, how many songs do you think you lost?
Man, at least like 20. And then my friend's songs, they lost some of their songs. So yeah. it was a lot.
We're
my
talking
roommates
about
that I was with, they lost their music. Yeah, the computer just like crashed. And we didn't have nothing backed up. So when we got the computer fixed.
Right.
But when we got it fixed, it had to be completely wiped off.
Yeah,
yeah so... Ugh.
Damn.
It was horrible. Sometimes I look at my memories and I see my posts, me talking about it.
Oh, you need to delete those.
And I think about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll be talking about how I can't record. Because even the Mac was down for like a couple weeks before we were able to get it fixed again.
Right.
It was horrible. But I play the guitar too. Right. So I guess I'd always like, I just would just do that.
Yeah.
And you're also an engineer now, like you said.
Yeah. I'm an engineer. I get busy living. So if you want to ever book a session, it's right on 27th and Welton in the East Side and Five Points.
Make
I'm pretty
happen.
Good at it. Roger's the main engineer. He taught me a lot of the stuff I knew. Although I already came with prior knowledge, he just taught me a lot of his little secrets.
Sharp
right.
it up.
Yeah. A lot of people know who he is. He's pretty well known in the city. Roger, who is Rod? So gives me a little bit of credibility when I say he taught me a lot of the stuff I know. But I really love audio engineering because then it helps me with my music. I get more inspired by other people. I get to really be behind the scenes and know how it works. So that way, when it comes time for me to work on my music, I really have the opportunity to perfect it.
Right. You know what to look for.
Because, I mean, you're getting a little piece from everyone coming in. That's dope. That's dope. How long have you been? You said, you've been recording for a minute, right?
Yeah, I've been recording myself probably since I was like 16, 15, I think was when my dad bought me that little thing. Then when I moved out and I was 17. And then I've been like an audio engineer at Get Busy Living for a couple months now, maybe like 3-4 months. I always been affiliated with Get Busy Living.
Right.
Like behind the scenes, I would always help out a lot. I would like kind of, I guess I was kind of like an intern. I would like help out with their booths. And Mike, the owner of Get Busy Living, he's actually my manager for my music. So he gets me a lot of the shows that I do, a lot of the shows that they promote is Mike's. He's the one that books it for me. Right. So.
And you've been getting a lot of shows lately, huh? I've been seeing you. I've been seeing some flyers here and there.
And I gotta give all the most of the, I guess really all of it to GBL. They're the ones that's booking all these shows for me and helping me really just bring my music together. Like, it's really hard being an independent music and doing stuff by yourself. So I'm lucky to have more people around me now to help me really bring my visions together because I just want to be able to focus on creating. Right.
How did that happen, putting the team together or getting people to believe in you, you know?
Well, when I was in California, I had a good friend of mine. His name was Noel, and we met, and we met through somebody else named Dante. He had came to visit, and we all kind of got together, and he was like, I live out in Temecula, and he was an audio engineer. So I was already affiliated with this other studio named Low Life Entertainment. I signed a little deal with them, so I was recording. So I invited him over to my sessions because he was an audio engineer too. So I was, and he made beats.
Right.
So he started coming to my sessions and making music with me. And he was also from Colorado, and then we both kind of had the same idea to move back to Colorado around the same time. So we came back here around like last October, and then that's when he started working with GBL again.
Okay.
And then he would invite me over a lot and be in his sessions, and I would start recording there and booking sessions there. And then I kind of started seeing how they worked, and I got cool with Roger. Then I met Mike, and then Mike just, I kind of just threw it in the air like, hey, you should be my manager. Have you ever thought about being a manager?
Right.
Or what about if you have like a Get Busy Living, like, label, like I really could use like artist support because they have all these resources there. And I started playing my music for them, and Mike really believed in my music, and he heard my sound, and he saw my performances. He put me on a couple shows, and he really felt like I had something that was worth him working hard behind and starting to just put his foot in the door with me more and just helping me. He told me he doesn't always go out of his way for a lot of people because he didn't want to waste his time. So he wanted to make sure I was going to have like the work ethic. So I guess when I started doing like shows and really getting prepared, I put together like dancers, and I had all these ideas. That's when he started being like, okay, I'm going to invest more time into her and getting like this team together and getting her support. Cause
like the whole team, like you said, you got like a whole performance, you know what I mean? Dancers, the whole nine.
Yeah, I put some dancers together. We did our little rehearsals. I think this is done. We did our little rehearsals at GBL in their little dance studio, and we performed at this crawfish boil. It was so cool. I think it was one of my best performances, having the dancers behind with me. And then our outfits that we got was actually from the Get Busy Living, the GBL boutique that they have.
Okay.
Everything Charisma. She has some of her clothes in there, and she gave us a discount on her clothes. So then all the I got it for all the girls, and then we wore our little outfits, and then I had like custom made a set wolf on it.
Tight.
And then after that show, that's when Mike was like, okay, I'm ready to get behind you as an artist and start really trying to book you more, because now I could really see the vision, and you're ready to put in the work.
Right. Another misconception we talked about earlier is everyone always thinks you're a rapper.
Oh, yeah. That too. I guess it's my swag. It's what
you were talking about earlier. It's the swag.
Yeah, it's my swag. And I guess in some of my lyrics and some of my in my bars and like in what I say, it comes off kind of rappy, you know?
Do you have people coming up to you wanting to battle you and stuff or what?
No. When I was in high school, we used to do our little battle raps, you know?
That's what we were talking about. Talk about that. That's kind of how you kind of like.
When I'm with my friends, I can definitely get into it and do like a little freestyle. I get a little tipsy. It's fun. I have fun with it.
We're going to have to invite you to a Lazy Sunday, just like a little freestyle session, and, you know, get you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
get your little bottle or something, get a bottle, you know, get it going. Have a good time, though, you know?
At my last Wolf Wednesdays open mic, I do an open mic every single Wednesdays, hosted by me, powered by GBL. It's at this place called the Monkey Barrel.
Okay. I've been seeing that. I was kind of wondering what that was.
Yeah, it's an open mic, so anybody's welcome to get on the mic. You do comedy, music, poetry. You just want to come up and just say anything. You sign up, and the stage is yours for up to 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes sometimes, or 2 songs.
Okay.
And the last couple times I had some people come, and they had, like, this whole little setup with a beat thing, and then they both played their guitars and they did their music live, and then I just let anybody come up to the mic and just freestyle. So we just did like a freestyle session with the music live, and we had a couple different artists coming up and dropping their little freestyles. I went up in there, I sang some stuff. It was really fun. We're probably going to do it. I don't know about this Wednesday. They said they couldn't make it, but next Wolf Wednesdays, we'll probably do another one of those jam sessions. It was a lot of fun.
Definitely have to check it out for sure. That's dope. Like, yeah, being creative like that and just kind of opening your door up to everyone. You have your hands in a little bit of everything, it seems like.
Yeah.
Doing little ciphers, little Wolfpack Wednesdays, engineering.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I really do love being behind the scenes. Like, I've had a lot of, like, industry kind of jobs where I'm just, like, I guess not music industries, but just, like,
corporate
jobs where I'm, or like business development where I'm just like really like being hands-on with just helping the business run. So I kind of just started to use that and apply it to my music. I really do like to be behind the scenes. That's why I'm happy to have a team, so I don't have to do so much of that myself, right? Because it blocks away my creativity when I try to be too hands-on. So now I found a way to like level. I get to do the engineering, I do my Wolf Wednesdays, and then I have my time to just create and just be Jazzy Wolf.
There you go. How did you come up with that name?
Jazzy Wolf?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, when I moved to California, it was like I'm getting like a new life, you know? So I'm thinking like everybody out here, they call me my real name, and I guess I wanted to have a nickname. So Jazzy is real close to my real name, so I guess I started telling everybody my name is Jazzy, Jazz. So everybody's kind of started calling me Jazz, Jazzy. And my original artist name was going to be Antonia Monet. But my real, I guess I never told people that in like real life. That was just like my artist name, you know? So when I told people I did music, I'm like, yeah, but my artist name is Antonia Monet. So then I guess it came a point where I'm like, I'm going to change my artist name to Jazzy. So it was originally just Jazzy. But when I tried to make my Instagram at Jazzy was just taken. So I had to find like an ending. So I put Wolf at the end because it just went. I'm just like, at the time, I was just really into wolves. I'm just like, it sounded good. So I just put it at the end. And when I started doing music, I did like a couple podcasts. I did a couple interviews. I did a couple shows. People would introduce me as Jazzy Wolf.
Uh-huh.
And they would write, even on like my flyers, they would say Jazzy Wolf. So it's
kind of
like
just stuck.
People started calling me Jazzy Wolf. And I would go places and be like, oh, it's the wolf.
It'd be howling
so
at
it just,
you
yeah,
shit.
Like, yeah, it really started becoming that. So I'm like, man, so then I just
grew into
actually
it.
Just like 1 year ago, I officially changed my name on all social media platforms and streaming platforms to Jazzy Wolf because it was originally just going to be Jazzy. But I felt like the people they saw the wolf in me.
Yeah.
You know, they know the wolf didn't come to play.
Nice,
so I just had to make it just a thing. And I got he tattooed a wolf right here on my arm. Uh-huh. Probably gonna get a bunch more on me. So it just really just, and it just, it's really good with marketing myself, you know. People see Jazzy, they see a wolf. You know, I could put it on a t-shirt. People are gonna, even if they don't know who I am, they'll still see the wolf.
Right.
And it still resembles me in a way. So
they can make that identification, right? That connection.
It's really good for marketing purposes. So it's good as an artist, to have a good logo or something about you that stands out and makes you unique. So
no, for sure.
I guess in my case, it's the wolf.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And some of my songs, I'll put like a wolf howling. I do like a wolf like howl like ad lib sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you guys will hear it. I'm getting ready to release a song called Company pretty soon. So new music coming soon. You can hear some of my music on the radio. They play it on every now and then on 104.7 The Drop.
Okay.
Shout out The Drop.
Some of my songs. Yeah, shout out The Drop. They really show a lot of love to local artists.
Yeah,
a lot of love. So if you're a local artist, you want to get your music on the radio, definitely reach out to The Drop. 104.7. They have a way you can submit your music right on the website.
Or sure, they could even submit it to Sin. She DJs for them all the time. You know what I mean? She's always, you know, looking for new music. Up.
Yeah.
Hit your DJs up. Definitely send your DJs music.
Yeah. Because that's one thing. I was actually thinking about that shit the other day. And I have a lot of DJ homies, and I know there's a lot of DJs out there. But how many DJs out there are really dropping new music, like breaking music? Like back in the day, people would break music. You get an exclusive. I'd get an exclusive from Jazzy Wolf. Ain't nobody got that
and
shit.
The DJ's
and I'm dropping
it
at the party or on the radio or I'm fucking breaking it.
That's not really
a thing
anymore.
Like K-Tone does that shit. Shout out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yep. But there's not many people that are really like getting shit like that. And
Are they sponsoring somebody's mixtape?
Yeah.
They host a mixtape.
Yeah.
They'll be like, yo, I got this DJ hosting my mixtape.
Yeah, because I mean,
DJ will drop their mixtape.
I can get the same song from everyone, from the same person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, but you know, you got to take it to that next level.
Yeah, I guess it's just a little bit different now. Like you got to really like reach out to DJs and have your song ready in a DJ format and have your song be mixed and mastered in like a DJ way, so you can send it to them and you got to really ask them like, you know, hey, can you spin my music? That's how it is now.
Yep.
Right.
You got to be more personal.
The game has definitely changed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff you got coming up here in the future? I did hear the song that you and Kid Astronaut did.
Lemon Kush. Yeah,
Lemon
shout out
Kush.
To Kid Astronaut.
How did that come about?
He's dope. I guess I was just always going to GBL. I was always going there and just creating and just making music. And Kid Astronaut was working on music a lot at the time, too. Mm-hmm. And he has a really good voice.
Yeah.
And I told him, I'm like, wow, your voice is just super good. Like, we should totally, like, collab one day. I don't have a lot of music with any male artists or male singers, you know? So one day he just kind of asked me, like, hey, you should get on this song. You should sing the hook. And I was like, I'm down. So then he sent it to me, and then I wrote it. And he don't really even smoke weed like that. I remember at the time, I think he didn't smoke like a lot.
Right.
He does smoke, but just not like I did at the time.
Lot.
I smoked a lot.
He's still
you know,
chilling.
So I was really good for it. And he arranged like this like photo shoot for the cover. The cover came out really good.
Right.
I'm really happy how the cover came out. And the photographer, she did a really great job editing it. And yeah, we performed it at Herman's Hideaway one time.
That's dope.
Yeah, Kid Astronauts, he's a dope artist.
Yeah, he's super dope. Yeah.
Is there any other, like you said, being that you don't work with too many male singers, is there any other singers out there, maybe rappers you'd like to work with?
Drake. Chris Brown.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Hey, it's not for a bad
you
too, know
what I'm
you
saying?
Know what I mean?
Definitely.
If you're out there listening.
Start at the top.
Young and Ace.
That's my guy.
NBA young boy, you know what I'm saying? I won't go up there. But no, local artists, I'm definitely open to working with more local artists. It would be dope. There's a lot of them, you know what I'm saying? But I'm definitely at a stage now in my career where I charge for features now, you know? So
what's that run you, if you don't mind me asking?
Right now, I'm not really charging too much. I do like 300 for hooks and then like 500 for the verse. Depending on what the artist wants. I just did a hook and a verse for somebody. Her name is Little D.
Okay.
Coming soon. And the good thing about me is getting verses from me is I can mix an audio engineer myself. And then when you come to the studio, you could book the session with me.
Mm-hmm.
So then we could actually like create the song together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's kind of a lost art, right?
Yeah.
But it makes it easier when you're the engineer.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I really do love it. It's fun for me. I watch YouTube videos on it and really just try to perfect my craft so I could do it myself. Because, you know, I don't have a lot of patience. I know, like Roger, he records most of my music. Noel, he would record it too. And I know they would be probably irritated with me because I'm just, I know how it works.
Right.
You know what I mean? I know all the buttons that they have to push. They just could mix it way better than I could mix it, you know,
at the time.
You know, so, but the way I record is I want to do things over and over and over again. I'm like, redo. So I know I think I feel better and more comfortable when I'm able to just do it myself because then I feel like I'm not telling somebody what to do.
Right.
I hate knowing
times.
That, having to tell them, okay, do this, do that, do that. And they already know what they're doing in a sense, but I'm so fast, I'm so hands-on that, you know, it's better. So usually how I make music now is I'll record myself. I'll mix it the way I want it to have it mixed. And then I'll just have Roger come and just master it. and just kind of just tweak everything and just make sure it's going to be perfect. And then as he's doing it, I'll watch him. Mm-hmm. I make him explain to me everything he's doing as he's doing it and stuff. And
yeah, do that and take notes, you know?
Yeah, that's what I do. It's a good way to learn. And also, being an artist, it's one thing to just sing on the beat in public, you know, mm-hmm. or just at home. To have headphones on and be in a microphone and to have effects affiliated with your voice, right. mm-hmm. that's a whole nother art in itself. And it's easier for rappers than it is singers.
Right.
You know, because you have to have a different breath control. You're not as comfortable than you would be all the times you practice it at home in the mirror. So being able to record myself and to just know the way stuff works mm-hmm. really helps me be able to perfect the way I'm recording it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because I just know.
Because you know what you like and you yeah. know what you want to hear.
I know what I like. I know what I want to hear. Yeah, and it took a lot right. for me to know. Like, when I first was recording, I remember I would go to the studio with some of my friends before I really knew what I was doing, and they would get on the mic, and I would, like, feel like in my head I sounded like trash.
Right.
So I'd be like, this is not how I sound when I go home. And so having that studio in my room and being able to really be on the microphone and being able to play with auto-tune and just different effects and just EQ and, like, compressing. Yeah, it helps a lot. So
right.
that's one thing. Being an engineer, too, I can definitely say, like, every artist is different in the way that they record.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, some people, they, like, just start out recording, and you can definitely tell. And that's why it's important when you're an engineer to also, you got to be a little bit of an artist, because sometimes they need a little bit of creative yeah. direction, just good suggestions and good input that's going to also make them be better as an artist to make sure it's going to be good. Some engineers just sit there and hit the record button.
Right, it's getting paid.
I could be singing it flat and I can't hear it because I'm so stuck in it, and you need to be able to be honest with me and be like, that one's kind of flat, do it again.
Right.
You know, so make sure I know I could get it right, you know, because it's important to have other people's opinion. Some people say,
right.
I do music because it's for me, it's what I love. And when you're in this industry, that's one thing, but you got to really be able to take good criticism. You got to know what's going to make a hit record
right.
and going to really reel people in. And sometimes it's not always what you like.
No, not at all.
You might be like, this is fire, but you play it for a bunch of people and they're like, no, it's not.
Even like the song I played for you earlier, like when I put that shit out, I was like, this is the whole thing. And now that I listen to it like 10 years later, a bunch of million times, I'm like, should have stopped right here. Should have been like, pause.
Definitely.
Have a good day.
Definitely.
Know?
That's why I'm glad I was patient as an artist. I definitely could have put out a lot of tracks that weren't my best.
Right.
And just being in a rush. I almost did a lot of times, but all the tracks that I put out, I put a lot of time into making sure it sounded good and good enough to where I can take it to a record label mm-hmm. and I feel proud to play it for them and be like, this is who I am. This is Jazzy Wolf, and you need to give me a record deal right now. You know, if it's not good enough for you to take it to somebody like that, then, you know, then
go back
to the studio, or else you're only doing it for the love of music. And I guess maybe you don't care about the money.
Right.
But I don't care about the money necessarily all, but I really want to be successful.
Right.
You know, I want it to pay my bills. I want to have fun. I want to be able to tour and make a difference with my music and have money to be comfortable.
Right.
You know? I don't want to work no 9-to-5.
No, yeah. That shit sucks. You know what I mean? I was going to say, you sound like a perfectionist.
Yeah, definitely.
And you sound like you know what you want. And
yeah.
Just letting me, just seeing how you record your own self and just, you know what I mean, got that down packed kind of mm-hmm. says a lot about you. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
I lock myself in the studio by myself and I'll just like freestyle on it. I'll go on there, I'll do some hums, and then I just kind of make a song out of it. And sometimes I make songs and I'm like, this is not it.
Right.
And I throw them away. You know, and then I kind of take the ones that I feel like are great and those are the ones I perfect. I add more verses to them if they need
Start
to.
Start building them up. Yeah. Start building the pyramid.
Yeah. So far, the ones that I've been performing are the ones that I feel like are the ones I'm going to put my all into. Like, Company, I'm getting ready to do a music video for it.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about
that.
What
are some of your favorites that you're performing right now?
that they company
can search and, for and listen to?
Well, out right now I have Beautiful Nightmare, and then I have 2023, and then Company is coming soon. Then I have like an older track, Golden. Everybody loves it. It's so old. Maybe now it's probably like 5 years old.
Ain't that old.
People love that song, though. They still listen to it. They still hit me up. It still gets the most plays, I think. But I have Beautiful Nightmare, which is more like an EDM, like pop sort of vibe, like R&B-ish kind of song. And then I have 2023, which is like an Afrobeat, which is different from what I was doing before. But I always had like a reggae sort of voice. People would always tell me, you sound kind of like reggae-ish, like you should do reggae. So then I kind of adapted in like that Afro pop. So I would like identify myself as like a pop artist, I guess.
Okay.
Because then you could take pop, you could, there's pop R&B, there's pop Afro pop, you know what I'm saying? And then there's just pop.
Pop. I had some, but I can't even remember now. It's that weed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I was gonna tell
you, got you high. You got me high for sure.
High too.
We're all stuck like Chuck. You know what I'm saying? I was like, who are some of your influences as far as like singers growing up? Like kind of people you saw that kind of.
Man, that's one that's so hard for me to answer. It always like switched around. I guess growing up, I listened to like a lot of like Amy Winehouse, Alicia Keys, Erykah Badu, Beyonce, Rihanna, you know, but like, I always made my own music. Like, I never really got stuck on like one artist.
Trying to copycat or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, I never was like stuck on one artist. Like, all those artists I named for you, like, I guess I know their songs, but I don't know. I was never like into it. Like, feel like. My boyfriend knows more songs than I do, like throwback like R&B songs than I do. Definitely. He knows more artists than I do, probably. You know, because I listen to a lot of like my own music and like local music and I don't know. Listen to a lot of, I like The Weeknd, I like Drake.
Who are some of your local favorites you be bumping?
Local favorites? This is a hard one. I guess I don't really listen to a lot of local artists, to be honest with you. I support local artists, you know. Like I know like Doobie Newton, he's a good artist. I would listen to a lot of his songs. You know, Kid Astronaut, the songs that I like aren't out yet.
Right.
they're the songs I just get like a peep of in the studio. I just heard him working on it the other day. You know, like Roger's a good artist too, but he don't even drop a lot of his music.
Right. Now, talking about that, me and Elvis have actually, man, these last couple of weeks, everyone coming through has been playing new music, right, Elvis?
Yeah, for sure.
We got Namek, we got Ghost, we got who else? Paperboy P, like just playing new shit with Nay Renee. You got like four or five songs.
You know, yeah, Nay Renee is a good artist too. And you know, I do my Wolf Wednesdays every Wednesday, so I guess I see a lot of local artists,
right?
Like people I never even heard of. You know, come into my Wolf Wednesdays and they do their music. It's different people every Wednesday, surprisingly.
Right, that's good.
You know what I'm saying? It's so we have some regulars, but for the most part, it's mostly like different people that come in. So I hear a lot of like local talent. There's a lot of good artists out there. They don't have no music out. You know, like Kalia Nyree, she's one of my favorite local artists, but she don't have a lot of music out. A lot of people know who she is, you know, but all her songs that I have a lot of her songs because I'm friends with her, so she sends them to me.
Right.
But they're not out, so only I listen to them.
See?
You know, but hopefully one day
she'll drop them. To tell her to break that and start putting it out to the masses.
I do tell her, but she's a perfectionist like me.
Right.
So she wants everything to be perfect. And I don't know, for her idea of perfect, in my eyes, I'd be like, girl, it is perfect. But for her, it's not.
Right.
So... You gotta just. Every artist is different, you know. You
True
can't
that,
rush it, you know. It's not, and it's also not for everybody. Some people don't really want it. Like I don't. Like she's not really for the fame,
right.
You know. I don't think she wants a lot of clout, you know. A lot of people knowing who she is and where she's at and a lot of eyes on her. I don't think she'd like that.
Nah.
You know,
she's
kind of
on the low. She wants to make some good music.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe let a couple people listen to it, you know.
Like Sia.
Yep.
She didn't want to be known. She hid her face from the world for years. She wore wigs that covered her whole face because she wanted to still go in public.
and perform
and
but
be
not
a
be.
Normal person. Okay. And her music was blowing up.
Damn.
She actually used a child, like some girl, I can't remember how old she was, to be her face. So that way she didn't have to take the spotlight because she had such bad social anxiety. She didn't do well in front of people that she felt more comfortable hiding her face.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. You could Google it and read about it. I was just watching about it recently. Yeah. Chance the Rapper shouted her out in one of her songs. He's like, my kid's just like Sia. You can't Sia. Because she did that for so long. And eventually she came out into the public mm-hmm. and said this is who she is. But, you know, some people just want to be behind the scenes. Like, even some artists now, like, they end up going behind the scenes, you know, and they mm-hmm. and they make a, they become ghostwriters, and...
Some people ain't built for the fame, and some people don't want it.
Sometimes like even said. Me, I think about it, like, man, I don't know if I can handle this. Like, at one point, being in San Diego, I used to perform a lot, and I used to go to a lot of open mics, mm-hmm. and I knew a lot of people, so I would be in, like, parties, I'd be in clubs, and people were like... Are you Jazzy Wolf? You know, and they would know my music and ask me about my music. So then that's when I started realizing, like, dang, I gotta, like, really carry myself as Jazzy Wolf everywhere I go. I can't be, like, normal and going out and getting wasted and wilding and being stupid because people are gonna see it. They might record it.
Right.
It's gonna come back around on me and it's gonna have a part in it. And how people see me, and that was always important to me too as an artist, is my image. You know, I don't want to be out here looking crazy.
Right.
You know, so that's when I started realizing, like, man, I gotta really just like carry. Sometimes, out here though, I'll go out places and people recognize me from like in school, and they'll come with my real name. It's funny, but even sometimes people I don't know, they'd be like, "Aren't you that singer girl, Jazzy Wolf?" One time I said no.
Right, just to be. Just leave me.
Because I just feel like I don't want to talk about music.
Right.
You know what I'm
That's
saying?
Like
I'm just trying to chill.
Almost.
Like, I don't even want to talk. Like, don't talk to me.
Nah, the homie's like you know? That. The homie Lorenzo Shedda, he's a dope tattoo artist, mm-hmm. like Black and Gray. And, like, he works and he doesn't want to talk about tattoos out of that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
that's like my boyfriend. No, he don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I don't like talk about no
When
tattoos.
I first met him, like, I didn't know him that well. So, like, when I would take him out places, I would tell people, oh, yeah, he's a tattoo artist.
Like,
and everybody's like, I need tattoos. I need this. Yeah. I need that. You
Can
do
you
tattoos?
Cover this up? Can
you
cover
do this?
That
yeah.
up?
And then he had to tell me, don't tell people I do tattoos. I do cars. I was like,
quit
okay,
blowing my
yeah,
cover,
I
homie.
No, I totally understand it, being an artist, because people always want to ask you, so how long you been doing music? Mm-hmm. That's like the number one question. So when did you start doing music? And then it's just like, I'm talking about music, and it's fun. Sometimes I enjoy it when it's networking, but you know, when I'm out with my friends and I'm partying, I'll be like, man, I'm on my glasses.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
I'm just a normal girl.
I got kind of like a funny little story about that, talking about my homie Lorenzo. We went to Von Miller's crib for about a week to tattoo this guy from like 6 at night till probably like 6 in the morning.
12 hours.
And yeah, and the whole time we were there, I swear the fucking radio was on like fucking a million. Like, it was like the club. So for that whole time, like the whole night. And I told my homie, like, the next day, I was like, you know why the music's so loud? And he's like, why? I was like, because you don't want to talk. He just wants to get tattooed. Like, and you figure, you make sense. Like, the music blaring, I can't talk to him. Like, I can talk to him, but it's like, it's dead shit.
Oh, my gosh.
Where the music's off, then it's a whole.
Then they going to talk.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't want to, I just want to get tattooed. Right. Do your job, and that's what it was. And the homie did his job.
That's
you know,
so funny.
Left, but, like, it was crazy, you know?
No,
shout
I could
out.
Totally understand that.
Like, you know, like you said, you get bombarded with that shit, like, just, like, a million questions. And right now, I just don't want to answer a million questions, right. homie.
Absolutely.
You feel
yeah,
me?
Definitely.
So, yeah, I definitely see how that, both of you guys, just, you know.
Because, like I said, when you're in the zone, you just don't want to, you know, talk, you know what I mean? When you're in
trying to smoke this blood.
Yeah, I'm just trying to chill.
Well,
and
you
if
know,
I want
to
talk about
my
it,
job, just, you know.
I don't want to talk about what my job.
Or right. I'll bring it up. You know what,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? This is what I do all the time. And so you got to also think about it, like, people don't, you got to be nice to people. They're not looking at it like they're bothering you. You know what I'm saying? They just are honest, and they just want to know what you got going on. So, Yeah. They just, we don't go out that much.
Yeah, they just want to know what's up. They want to, you know.
So that's why I just try to separate myself and just know, like, when is, like, a networking event, when is the time to go out and be social, and then when is the time to focus and work. You know, you got to know.
It's always networking.
Yeah, it's always
even networking. Even when it's not.
Yeah, it's true. I'm always on my phone doing stuff on my phone.
I'm always just, man, it seems like lately just been meeting so many people that want to connect and got shit going on. It's just like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You should come to my Wolf Wednesdays.
I'm about to. I
yeah,
might be there this
Wednesday.
There's
a lot of artists that come. This Wednesday is a lot of signups. Yeah.
Where is it at again?
It's at this place called the Monkey Barrel. It's 4401 Tejon Street. T-E-J-O-N Street.
Sorry, right in the north. 44th
and Tejon.
Right, yeah, it's like 44th and Tejon. Like right off Federal, like 44th and Federal. Yeah.
What time does it start?
It starts around 7:30. Like, that's what time the doors open, but I usually start throwing people up there around like 8, 8:15.
Literally throwing them, pick them up, just throwing them on stage.
Yeah. You've been working out. Yeah, we throw them up there, throw the mic at them.
Nice.
And tell them to break a leg.
Get it.
And then everybody watches them do it.
Ready, go.
Hell yeah. How did that come along?
Well, the owner of the Monkey Barrel, he's a good friend of my mom's. So we've known him for a while, and I always wanted to do an open mic. I used to go to open mics a lot in San Diego. That's like how I got my foot in the door as an artist. That's how I met a lot of the people that I knew in California, was just through networking and going to open mics, and it completely killed my stage presence. You know, I wasn't afraid to be on the stage anymore. I would go up there. I would sing covers at first. I would just find somebody who played the guitar. I would just tell them to just play. Sometimes I just freestyle play, and then I would just kind of catch along. And I would just do it all the time, and it really just opened up a lot of doors for me. It made me not to be so afraid to be on the microphone. It taught me how to network and just meet people and build from there. So I felt like we needed something like that in Colorado. There's a lot of open mics here already, but most of the open mics are like acoustic music, people playing their guitars, people playing their piano, and it's not really like rap music and like hip hop music and like a younger crowd. So I wanted to create something that was kind of more, it is all ages, although there is a full bar. So it is more like an older crowd, more people who are like 21 and up drinking. But if younger folks do want to come, they can come and get on the microphone. I thought about doing a youth night or something like that. But yeah, it's a really good open mic, and I just kind of asked this guy, my mom's friend, one day, and if I could do my open mic there, and he was like, yeah, we'll kind of test it out. I brought my manager involved, Mike, and Mike kind of like negotiated it for me, and then we secured Wolf Wednesdays because he said Wednesday open. I didn't know what I was going to call it yet. So then the kind of Wolf Wednesdays, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's perfect. So
Hell yeah.
And then I've been doing it for like 3 months now.
Congrats.
In the beginning, it wasn't really that big. It was like, I remember I was getting discouraged. It was like 3-4 people come in and signing up. And then it would be like a lot of signups, but then nobody would come. And I'd be like, oh my God. And then I kind of just kept doing it. And then at the end, I stopped it for like 2 weeks. But then right before the 2 weeks, that's when kind of like more people started to come. And then I think like that 2 week break, I promoted it a lot. I paid for an ad. I ran an ad on Instagram that I actually paid for that targeted people in Denver. So I think that helped a lot. And then, more people started coming. I have somebody host it every single Wednesday. So I put like a local artist on it to give them like some spotlight. I throw them on the flyer and just kind of promote them. They get a longer set than everybody else does. And then they host it if they want. But if they don't want to host it, they don't have to. Last Wolf Wednesdays, we had a comedian host it. That was pretty dope. He was really funny.
Okay.
And now it's big. This Wednesday, we got like 15 people signed up. So, and a lot of the times, more people sign up when they get there. They'd be like, how do I sign up? So,
sounds real dope. Can't wait to check it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to come through. If you're a local artist, you do music, or if you just want to enjoy local talent, come to Wolf Wednesdays. It's a lot of good music. You know, and it's just interesting to see everybody express themselves, you know, in like a safe place, and to hear everybody's music. The diversity gets crazy in there. It's a lot of different stuff.
I'm going to have to get my free flow skills up.
Yeah, anybody's welcome
to get
on the mic.
You hear that, Elvis? I can sign up for free.
All right. Yeah, it's a free event.
All right.
Yeah.
Exclusive.
Yeah. There is an open bar, though, so if you do come, try to get a little drink from the bar.
He said open bar. Hold on, open bar. You mean like
not an open bar? I'm sorry, a full bar.
I was like, open bar. Hold up, like
that. Open bar. See, that's how you know I'm high.
Where's open bar? No, that's what Wolf said.
That's how you get.
No. If it's gonna get people, to come, it's an open bar. No, I'm just kidding.
Not a full bar.
It's a full bar. Yeah, just pay for
it. It's an open bar where you gotta pay for your drinks.
You can smoke your weed outside.
Smoking in the parking lot.
Yeah. No, you could smoke right outside. And
oh, they got a little patio?
Still hear the music, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
It's a pretty good little setup. Yeah, I'm proud of it.
That's real dope, man. Hey, you got anything in the works right now?
Yeah, I guess just my music video for Company. I'm getting ready to shoot that at the end of this month. And then
you have a concept for that, or you're still in the pre?
I do have a concept for it. So the song is called Company. The main line is like, sometimes I need company, sometimes I need space. And in the beginning of the song is like a phone call. So I was thinking it's going to be like a party theme where like it's going to be a bunch of people celebrating. I'm going to be like, thank you so much, everybody, for coming here to celebrate this special moment. Thank you so much for being here. And then I'll be like, okay, DJ, play the song. And then the song will start, and then I'll make a phone call because it's a real actual like phone ringing and getting sent to voicemail. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to show him in the video in like a car, my boyfriend, and then it'll show him ignoring my call. And then the song will start, and then I'm going to be all pissed. I'm going to throw my phone, and then I'm going to walk out, and then it's going to be a bunch of people at the party just like celebrating, and the song's going to start. And I think I'm going to have like real like salsa dancers and like couples come and like dance, and everybody's going to be dancing together. Okay. And then they're going to start like cheering me on, and it'll be like a party vibe. Like, sometimes I need company, and then he's just going to like show up at some point. And I'm still kind of getting the vision together, but so far it's going to be like party themed. Then I'll have some B-roll of like dancers because that's one of the songs that I do for my set. So I do already have like a dance routine for it. So I'll probably do B-roll of like us with like a nice green screen, black background with like maybe something just blue or maybe somewhere nice or something look good in the back and just dancing.
Yeah, sounds like you definitely have a vision.
Yeah, it's gonna be my first like official like music video that I really like put together myself. I have another music video out for Beautiful Nightmare that City Roots did, but it was kind of just like a feature that I did for them. It wasn't like a serious music video that like we like planned out. It was kind of this thing where I knew I was gonna film it, that kind of just showed up and we just kind of put it together, and they featured it on their website. I was the cover on their magazine. City Roots, so yeah, shout out to City Roots. They show a lot of love to local artists, so if you want to get some love there, shout out to City Roots. And then yeah, this is gonna be my first video, so I'm really excited.
That's dope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dropping here soon in a couple weeks, mm-hmm. or
dropping here soon. I'm gonna put it on the radio, 104.7 soon. Okay. I'm just waiting on the master to be done, which probably gonna be done in like a couple days. And I got the my metadata is done for it already. That's important for artists. If you don't know what metadata is, if you don't have metadata for each and every one of your songs that's out, it's very important to know your numbers, your ISRCs, your ISWCs, all those important numbers that are affiliated with your song. You need to know them. You can buy your own ISRCs, actually, from the website. I think it's like ISRC.gov or something like that. You could buy them yourself.
Is that a barcode?
Yeah, it's like a special number. It's almost like copywriting your song. So right. When you put it out, let's say it does blow up, when you have your own ISRC, like DistroKid or like TuneCore can put it to you, give it to you yourself, but then they own that number.
And they get a piece.
So technically, they own part of your song. So let's say you get a Billboard record. They're going to want to know who owns the ISRC. That's how they're going to identify your song. It's like a barcode in a sense, along with some other numbers. But they would call DistroKid and tell DistroKid about the song. So if you own your own ISRC, it gives you a lot of power. It is important to just, that's not the only number that you need to have. I can't think of all of them in my head right now.
What's the IRC? What's one cost?
Or like UPN. I think it's like $100.
So $100 a song?
$100. No, $100 for like 100 ISRC codes.
Oh.
Damn. 100 for 100. Yeah, it's not that expensive.
Yeah, handle that shit.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Yeah, and a lot of artists don't know this. Like, I usually don't even tell a lot of people this, but it's important information to know, and I only know it because I really spent a lot of time researching it. Like, this is, like, months and months of me, and not even months, years of me going on Google and researching, how do you release a song? Like, most artists don't know to that, when you, not only when you release a song, you got to put it on DistroKid, but you also need to submit your song to BDS. Mm-hmm. People don't know what BDS is. You could Google it. BDS is like, I think it's Broadcasting Digital Systems or something like that. And that's how your music gets on the radio. That's how you get nominated for billboards and stuff like that. So it's really important to make sure you follow all the steps to releasing your song in a way that you're going to own it all around, because then you lose your money, you know, if you're not releasing it right. And when you lease a beat, got to make sure you know how much money you're going to get, because most leases are like, you get this, you get 100% of the earnings up until 10,000 streams. Mm-hmm. That's not enough.
That's not shit.
You know, and then they get everything after that. So it's important to know, like, to just really just be in ownership of your music. If you're really, like, unless you don't care and you're doing it because this is what you love, then just don't worry about none of this. Continue doing what you love. But if you're really trying to be in the industry, be successful at this and make hit records, it's really important to follow a certain format. You got to market yourself a certain way. You got to know your demographic. Because if you don't know this stuff, you're not going to make it anywhere. Right. It's not just because you're talented and you have a good talent. There's talented people everywhere. And they're not going to make it anywhere because they're not following the right steps. They're not investing money into their career.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They don't have a team with them that supports them. And you know, it's just important to just, it's a career in itself. I feel like you should go to, there should be a college for like how to be an independent artist.
Right,
I think they have some schools you can take, you know, there's a lot of webinars. I learned a lot of stuff just through watching YouTube videos and just reading blogs. Clubhouse, when the whole Clubhouse vibe was going on, that was extremely useful for me. A lot of the Clubhouse podcasts that I would listen to were just dropping so many gems.
Nice.
For just how to just drop your music and just all these different stuff you should know about being a good artist, you know?
Yeah. Like you said, it's not just one thing. You can't just rap or sing. You need the whole ball of wax.
Not everybody could make a hit record, you know? Like, are you a good... you're a good artist, but can you make a hit record?
Right.
Can you sell a million... You know, can you sell? Can you get a million streams? Because at this point, it's not a million CDs. It's streams. Can you get a million streams? You know, and then when you get them, are people gonna follow you?
Right.
Are they just gonna listen to it and never listen to it again? Are they gonna want to know who you are, and pay for your ticket to your show? You know, you gotta really just know how to just do all that stuff. It's hard. It's really hard to just know the right demographic and just know what it takes to just be successful as artists. Yeah, it's not easy.
I feel you. A lot of work. You know, it sounds like you're doing a lot
of
it. But
if you love it, it's great. It's fun work.
Yeah, it can't be.
It's not easy. It's times I felt like I wanted to quit.
A million times.
A million times. It's like times I feel like I couldn't write a song. So I'm like, man, I can't write a song. I'm just going to quit music, and the next day I'll write a song, I'll just get back to it. You know what I mean? It's not easy. Sometimes I wish I could have just went to school. Sometimes I tell them, I'm like, I wish I could just do tattoos or like fix a car, paint a car, charge somebody $5,000, $10,000 to fix their car up and just get that easy money.
Right.
I wish.
That's not hard money too, man.
It's hard though, but it's like my talent is just, it's just a little bit different. I don't want to go work at King Supers. Right. I don't want to work at the call center.
Right.
Yeah, no,
I used to work for Denver Human Services, believe it or not. I was processing people's EBT and food stamps and like Medicaid.
You know the homie Camshaw. He works the same thing, hooking brothers up. Yep.
Oh, yeah. But for me, it didn't work out. Oh, my God. It was just too much. That's for people that's more passionate. My passion is music.
Right.
I can't work a job that's so intensive. Even though I was good at it, I'm really good at sales and customer service and data entry and business development. I had a lot of jobs. I've done business development. I had a business development job before. That's a lot, though.
It is. Like, it's that corporate shit.
I couldn't. When I had those jobs, I couldn't make music. My creativity was down. I didn't even want to. By the time I got home, I'm like ready to go to sleep.
Yeah, tired. Like, fuck this shit.
Yeah. I lived in LA. I wanted to like drive to LA. I'm like, no, I can't do it. I just want to go sleep.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shit, man. We, you know. Sounds like you're definitely on the right track.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff going. Just keep on pushing. You know what I mean?
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on the show.
Definitely appreciate you coming too. You know what I mean? Trying to holler at you, you know,
for a minute. The weed is good.
It is. You can tell.
Yeah.
I'm going to
thank
put
you.
It in my bong.
Yeah.
Roll another backwood.
Enjoy
for
it.
For real. I'll probably roll another one when we get home. Call
yeah,
it a night.
I will.
You got any last thoughts? Any kind of shout outs?
Shout out to GBL, Get Busy Living Headquarters.
Of course.
If you want to do a session, you can book it with me. We got Roger over there, who's also a great engineer, and a couple other great engineers. So there's a good selection, and we got a good deals going on. And, yeah, shout out to GBL. So that's it.
You got a little acapella or so maybe at the end for us?
Oh, my gosh. After all the smoke you just gave me, I don't know.
It's up to you. You know what I mean?
Look, my new song coming out,
mm-hmm.
it's called Company. I guess maybe I'll just sing the hook for that or something like that.
Yeah, you can do that. We appreciate
it's
you.
It's like, how does it go? It's like, sometimes I need company. Sometimes I need space. I'ma tell you right now, I'ma put you in your place. I'ma tell you what I want. I'ma make you say my name. Sometimes I need company. Sometimes I need space. Yeah. Sometimes I need company. Sometimes I need space. Yeah, yeah.
There you have it, Jazzy.
That's
Will.
A little hook.
That's dope. Hey, we appreciate
that's
you.
That's my
you
new song coming out. I know it could be very relatable for a lot of people. Sometimes you need company and sometimes you need space.
Right.
Hey, that's real life.
See, I had to do that, so next that's time you're here, life. Then you've already kind of broken the ice. So next time you'll be ready to freestyle, free flow. You can get your thing on.
Yeah,
you know
I'll
mean?
Be ready. You going if you have a good beat ready, you know what? Yeah. I'll be ready for a freestyle my next time I come in.
All right, for sure, for sure. Hey, well, we definitely appreciate you coming on by, man.
Yeah,
thank you
for having me. Sure. I really
it was
do appreciate
definitely
it.
A
this
pleasure.
This is a great place to be.
It is. We got a good vibe going over here, and that's what we've been hearing a lot, man. Like, and that's what we're providing over here. Me, Elvis, Sin, and be yeah. good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Just trying to make it fun for everybody.
Bring it all together and be high.
I'm going to bring you guys some flyers for my Wolf Wednesdays. I think I got a
couple
in my car.
Yeah, please do.
I'm definitely going to check it out. Yeah, you guys need to go check that shit out too.
Yeah. Yeah, come. If you're a local artist, you want to showcase your talent, you come to Wolf Wednesdays. If you're interested in headlining, you got some people that you want to bring to come and see you, you have a new project coming out, or you're just a comedian and you want to host the whole open mic, you can do that. I allow vendors to come and set up like a booth if you want to sell some of your stuff. So I try to show a lot of love to local artists and just bring people to the Monkey Barrel so we can kind of all network and just local artists. Yeah.
We have to collab, make it even bigger, you know what I mean? Because I'm all about the same shit.
Yeah,
we
get
all
it.
Are, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
I want to do a Wolf Wednesdays showcase.
Dope.
Like a show, like Wolf Wednesdays, the concert or gotcha. Something.
Hell yeah.
I've been thinking about it.
Well, there you have it, man. Another episode, Smoking Joe Thunder podcast. Elvis Freshly, DJ Sin, Be Good Dispensaries. We are out of here. Find us everywhere. We will see you when we see you.
Yo,
all
peace.
Right, peace.
Bye.